Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We have a full show for you. There's a lot going on, and we need to talk about it. The guests for tonight, we are loaded up with people. Jeremy Warner, our friend who covers the Illini, I want to pick his brain about the NCAA tournament and talk a little bit about the past and the future of Illini basketball, but mostly talk to him about the tournament. Our guy, Eli Herskovich. Hey, Herbie, is Eli going to be in the studio or is he going to be on the phone? He going to be on the phone? Oh, he's now too big time to come into the studio for airtime. Interesting. Interesting that that would be the case with Eli. Kid gets a college basketball podcast and now all of a sudden he can't come in the studio for the show that he interned for. Fancy pants. Michael David Smith, the managing editor of ProFootballTalk.com, is going to jump on at 8 o'clock. We've got a lot to discuss as the NFL is getting real interesting. This was a crazy weekend. If looking up, you're like, oh, the Browns are just like trading everyone and trading for everyone. And Bears fans who thought that Jarvis Landry was going to end up with the Bears, you're like, wait, what? How did he end up trading to the Browns? They're using that draft capital, and they got themselves a very good wide receiver. I think they got themselves a decent quarterback, too. Shout out to Ty Gott. We'll talk with Michael David Smith about that. Barry Rosner is going to join me in about 35 minutes because he's so happy about Tiger Woods. And I get it. I get it. He's very happy with Tiger Woods. And he wanted to talk about that. So I'm happy to bring him on the show. I needed to talk to someone that I really enjoy discussing this with. And Barry is one of those people. We had a 30-minute conversation privately today about that and other things. But it'll be fun to talk golf with my friend Barry Rosner. That'll be at 6:40. Oh, yeah. The NCAA tournament brackets are out. A couple of observations before me and the crew talk a little bit about this. By the way, Herb Lawrence is the executive producer. Shane Reardon is in charge of sound. Julie DeCaro is going to be doing updates for us. The Oklahoma thing, let's just admit that we wanted Trae Young in the tournament. Because the case that Oklahoma State has over Oklahoma is ridiculous. Two wins over Oklahoma, two wins over Kansas, a win over West Virginia, and they don't make it into the tournament. Yesterday when they were doing the selection show, this will probably never happen again. So mark it down. I felt bad for Notre Dame. Why? Because the Davidson thing knocked them out of the tournament. And then the tournament chair was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Notre Dame was the team that had to go. They were in until that happened. And I'm like, I'd rather not know. I'd rather not know that I was – every time that I see when people are doing their brackets, first four out, like, just, you know what? I'm good. I don't even want to know. And then there's Notre Dame as the first team out of the tournament because there was an upset bid. What's really strange, though, I don't feel bad for teams on the bubble this year because the Big Ten was so bad that all of your bubbles, usually the Big Ten is a league that gets seven or eight teams in. They got four teams in. So if you're one of those bubble teams, your spot was there. You had your chance. And I know that the injury to Bonzi like changed the fortune of Notre Dame season because he's a tremendous player. But I felt a little bit bad for him, just a little bit. And then I didn't feel bad anymore. Also on the docket, Herbie is going to do something weird this weekend. Why are you shaking your head, Shane? And why don't you have on headphones? We talk about this all the time.
Somebody took my headphones and the investigation is in the works.
I have an extra pair.
I can get extra headphones, but I'm very particular to mine. So I will have them in a few minutes.
I'm just saying that, you know, you're a big part of the show.
I'm waiting for the break. I don't want to leave the board mid-segment.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm just saying that, you know, they're right there. You have an extra pair of headphones. Why are people stealing your headphones?
There are a lot of haters out there. I think we know that.
Is that what it is?
They're trying to kill my vibe.
Okay. That's what they're doing. Herbie, you're going to fully experience St. Patrick's Day this weekend? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I have never done that before because, you know, I've always been scared of St. Patrick's Day. I've gone out, you know, in passing, but not done the whole day thing like the folks used to do. And I'm 39. This is probably like the last time I could do it.
So do you have a plan or?
Yeah, meeting up with Joe Kilgallen.
Oh, my man.
Early, like at 8 o'clock to watch some rugby, which, you know, that's what people do. It's an Irish game versus, I think, England. And then my guy Jason Hollingsworth is going to be in town, so I'll meet up with him after the parade and then, you know, see what happens.
Okay.
I'm probably going to be out by like 5, like sleep. Or tired or something like that, and go back to home and then recover and then come back out like at 10.
When's the last time that you had a day that was dedicated to drinking? Like you knew it was going to go down.
We used to do this every Saturday. A guy named Joe Peck and I used to wake up and go to Sedgwick's for the early college football games on Saturday, go from 11 to that second game, and then have that break, go back home, sleep, and then watch the night game. So that was probably like 10 years ago.
Man, this is a bad, bad choice for you. The only saving grace is that I know Joe Kilgannon will fight. I know that if something goes down, he will throw hands on it. I abstain from St. Patrick's Day. And usually my neighbor, like the Hyde Park, Kenwood, Woodlawn area is a good place to abstain. Like, there are people that are celebrating, but the streets aren't flooded. When I used to work at Channel 5, and we'd be in the middle of downtown, because you do your shows or whatever, and then you go try to go get something to eat. Trying to go walk to go get something to eat on St. Patrick's Day weekend was always a nightmare. So I'm a firm believer. I am straight up hiding in Hyde Park this weekend. I don't see myself venturing very, very far outside the confines of the Woodlawn, Hyde Park, Kenwood area.
Not a, what if NBC Sports Chicago says, hey, come on in, let's do a Bears special?
Yeah, yeah.
We picked up a free agent.
Which is not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, that could be done.
This is down here, right here, right?
On the river? I mean, then it's messing with my money, so I guess I probably have to go. But the plan is to bunker in. I bunker in for that. And there are two things in this city that I bunker in for. St. Patrick's Day and the Chicago Marathon. Because with the marathon, you forget like where it is. So you may like, maybe I want to go have breakfast in Pilsen. I can't because the marathon route is going to keep me from getting to Dusick's or Azul 18 or wherever it is that I want to go in Pilsen. And you just know that there's going to be a ton of people. With St. Patrick's Day, there's the added element of people have been drinking since 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's all I worry about, the fighty people.
Yes. Like, that's what you don't want that. Like, you don't want to be put into a situation where you feel like you got to fight somebody. It's supposed to be jovial. It's supposed to be everyone's having a good time and having fun. I just don't think that I'm really built for it.
The thing is, I know how to drink, so you know, I get some water in between. I'm not Danny Parkins. I drink water in between. So you know, Shout out to Danny Parkins if you're listening. But
well, he's got the IV play, so
I'm good. So I'll be fine. I'll just be, my stomach will be full. That will be more the problem of me having to keep on going to the bathroom.
So wait. What do you mean your stomach's going to be full? Why are we going full tummy here?
Like, when I drink, I like to just, slug it down, drink it full. I don't like to sip unless I'm sipping on some tequila. I drink my drinks quickly, and that leads to a full stomach, which leads to me taking several trips back and forth to the bathroom. That will be the thing that I'll be worried about mostly, other than the drunk people.
Shane, I did want to exclude you from this conversation. I also didn't want to include you because I felt like, that's stereotype. Here's Shane Reardon. He's super Irish. Let's talk to him about St. Patrick's Day.
It's more traditional for me. Do you say
St. Paddy's instead of Paddy's?
It's D's. It's right. Not T's. It's not Paddy's. It's Paddy's.
Right.
Because Paddy is Patricia and Paddy is Patrick.
It's Padraig.
Right.
Like R-A-I-G.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more traditional for me. So I enjoy the downtown St. Patrick's Day celebration. I enjoy seeing the river dyed green. I think that's a beautiful sight nobody else does that. And it is gorgeous. The crowds I can do without, I don't think it's as rowdy, we were talking about this pre-show, as you guys think it is, but I also understand that I have the privilege of being a white Irishman. So that excludes me from ridicule that maybe other people would experience. So I have it a little bit easier.
Will you use that to your advantage? Like, is this a wilding out weekend for one Shane Reardon?
I'm not a sloppy drinker. I don't start fights. If a fight has started with me, I don't necessarily say no, but I don't throw any first punches, if that makes any sense. Well, I'm not instigating.
And I will tell people, you might not want to step to Shane on them streets.
I wouldn't if I were you. Yeah, I wouldn't.
You might not want to do it because he comes from a long tradition of bare-knuckle boxers.
Yeah, Shane doesn't start fights. He finishes them.
Two hits. Me hit them, they hit the floor.
Wait, how deep down the well can we go with these? We got any more?
What, puns?
With more like axioms about you being a great fighter.
I don't know if I'm a great fighter or not. I haven't lost many, but I don't know if I'm a great fighter. Maybe my opponents are just lesser.
This is setting up for a knockout of Shane.
Yeah.
It's going to be on YouTube.
World star! Like that's going to happen to Shane. Like, people are going to be seeking Shane out now for fights. He's not hard to find. He's actually on my Instagram today with his weird vegetables and produce. So, all right, Herbie, I'll be praying for you. And if things get bad, just jump on the Metra and I'll pick you up in Hyde Park.
It's a little far. I'll be on the north side, so I'll just go home on a cab. But I appreciate it.
All right, I just wanted to let you know that you got a place. I believe Mel will not be here this weekend. So we got all sorts of room. You can come hang out. We got food and the whole nine. We'll get you squared away for
Herb,
sure.
I won't pick you up if there's a problem.
Yeah, if I'm on the south side, like I'm out there at 115 Bourbon Street, then I'll come over to your house. Otherwise, I don't think I'm going to go to the south side. I'm good.
I think there's like a big charge for the St. Patrick's Day party at Bourbon Street. I want to say me and Hamp went to one of those. But see, you go somewhere with Hamp, it's really not a problem. No one's starting Jack. Like, I can say whatever. I can be as bold as I want it to be. Why? Because 99, the man in black, is standing right there behind me. There's not going to be any problems. I saw, I was watching Hamp's movie. If you've never seen the movie Gran Torino, it's basically Dan Hampton. And I say that with peace and love and affection. He knows it. He's even said it. Get off my lawn. Like, that's Hamp. I've heard this too. 847 text says Paddy is a derogatory word. Like, no, hold on, Shane, before you shake your head. When the term paddy wagon is used, that's derogatory,
that's
correct?
Yeah, because that's in terms of throwing a bunch of drunk Irishmen in the back of a police car because there are too many of them fighting and drinking and being belligerent.
But Paddy as a shortening of the name Padraig.
Yeah, that's not
is
derogatory.
Not.
No, of course it's not.
See, I love this. We can kind of do a cultural exchange. Meanwhile, looking at our brackets. Shane, how many college basketball games have you watched this year?
Probably four, and two of them were in the house at DePaul.
That's not good. Herbie, you watch a lot. You're watching Illinois basketball. You're watching DePaul. You watched a lot of Loyola this year. Why don't we start with Loyola? as we look at their draw, Loyola has Miami. They're one of the they play at 2 o'clock on Thursday. They play Miami in the first round. They get the winner of Tennessee and Wright State if they advance. What chance do you give them to advance?
A great chance. I heard that Miami's one of their top scorers is out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're only, what, 2-point favorites?
2.5, I thought. I saw Joe posted the number.
Yeah, and so Loyola Chicago, they've gone down to Florida and got that dub. They've played everybody tough except for the Boise State team. They went out to Boise and got their got it handed to them. But otherwise, they pretty much hung with everybody they played or beat them soundly. And their offense and defensive efficiency is off the charts for a mid-major team. This is a team that when you do pick upsets, this is the team you're looking for, who plays and shoots a lot of threes, that has a lot of scoring from different people. So not just one guy you got to shut down. They have balanced scoring throughout their lineup.
And it shows some respect that they weren't just automatically potted into 12, into a 12 seed, that the committee was like, this is a good basketball team. We're going to make them an 11 seed.
And they're they're solidly in the tournament.
Right. They don't have to go mess around with the play-in games. They shoot the ball so well from outside. They have everything that you need. Everything that you need. They have an inside presence with Krutwig. They have an outside presence with Custer and Ingram. They've got smart guards. They shoot threes well. They play really good defense. I can see them beating Miami. I think Tennessee is better than their seeding, and I think that they've played underneath the radar all season long. I hope that Loyola going to the Sweet 16 would be awesome. I mean, I just think it'd be a nice, fun story. Not unlike Northwestern, but I think better because it's a smaller school and a smaller conference with less things, less resources. And to get them to the second weekend of the tournament, I think would be outstanding.
The only thing with Tennessee, head coach.
Yep. This is where he struggles. And that was the knock on him when he was at Texas. This is where he struggles. So I understand that. Shane, if you thought about whether or not the Final Four, what your Final Four might be.
I mean, it'll be chalk. It'll most definitely be chalk.
Do you fill out brackets and like?
I haven't in 3 or 4 years just because I working during the day and odd jobs or whatever, you miss a lot of the games. And it's not as fun for me putting money in and putting a bunch of time in when I really know that, you know, I don't really know what I'm talking about. It's a lot of ignorance. So I could do it like my mom does it in terms of what mascot I like more, or if the two mascots were to fight, who would win? Richmond Spiders, Final Four. But that's it for me. I wish I could contribute more, but I just can't. I'll just sound like an idiot.
I mean, you already do, but that's okay.
Okay.
Here's the beautiful thing about that, Shane. Your system is as good as anyone else's.
Right. I've had people in my... I used to run a bracket in high school. This girl, Sam, won based off of colors. People win like that all the time.
Why
not? Nobody knows.
No one knows.
It's just fun to do.
I spend a lot of time around college basketball. I know who I think is really good, but now you're talking about matchups and quick turnarounds. That's why... Here's the team that I think could surprise people, although it's not that big of a surprise. West Virginia. West Virginia is really hard on the back end of a weekend to get ready for. You better have a great coaching staff that's already broke down the tape and knows how to tell everyone what their assignments are going to be, because they will press you and you're not ready for it. You've seen nothing like it, unless, of course, you play in the Big 12. Then you've probably seen something like it. But this is a team that was at one point the number two team in the country. And I could absolutely see Huggy Bear and the boys like getting hot and rolling into the Elite Eight or the Final Four. Absolutely.
And it's got a local connection with Javon Carter from Proviso East.
There you go. See? Something maybe that you didn't even know about what's going on. Villanova, to me, is terrifying. Villanova, when they're playing, they're so efficient. They're so good with getting the ball up and down the floor, with making the right decisions. Another team with great guard play. They're a terrifying group. They can romp and stomp their way to a national championship. And when you look at what they were doing in non-conference early on in the season, it was disgusting. They're probably, I haven't finished mine yet, they're probably my champion. And they have a coach that's been there before who's really good, not just at recruiting, but the actual X's and O's that are going on. This segment being brought to you by CC's New Crust, New Sauce, New York-style pizza. Now at CC's, grab an extra large slice of their new meatball pepperoni pizza and new cheesecake brownies for dessert. There's so much to love on the buffet for just five and change. Only at CC's, prices may vary. Restrictions apply. We're talking a little bit of tourney and advice for Herbie on his St. Patrick's Day jaunt that he's going to have on Saturday. I don't need any advice because I'm not leaving Hyde Park. 312-644-6767 is the number. You want to text us. Some really good texts have already come through. 670-11 is the way that you can text the show. Hit us up on Twitter. I am at Lawrence W. Holmes. I'm also on Instagram. You can see what Shane looks like. So when you challenge him to a fight and he knocks you out, you know what you'll be looking at. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can see that video as well. Back after this on The Score. Julie, thank you very much. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock. We're going to talk with Barry Rosner in the next segment. We're going to talk Tiger Woods with him. If you were on my Twitter account earlier today, if you follow me on Twitter, if you don't, that's cool. You saw me retweet a story that the DePaulia, which is DePaul's student newspaper, had about Gene Lindsay Ponsetto, the athletic director at DePaul University. The story is well reported. And I take a lot of pride in the kids that come through the journalism or through the communications department at DePaul. It's called the headline is The Lindsay Connection. And before I read this, I would like to give you a disclaimer first. I am an alum of DePaul University, class of 1997. I am currently an adjunct professor in the communications department. I work with a lot of students who work at the DePaulia. I also work for the athletic department when they buy time here at The Score to broadcast games. I tell you this as a form of transparency to show you the conflicts that I have and that you can judge whether or not I'm someone who should be taken seriously on the subject. I want that to be on the table, and I want you to decide on your own. It's one of the reasons why, when it comes to the argument that is out there on whether or not to fire Gene Lindsay Ponsetto among alums in the fan base, I usually abstain from talking about it in those black and white terms because I understand the good that has happened under Jeannie's watch for the university that is sometimes hard to see from a wins and losses standpoint. For example, the rest of the athletics at DePaul are thriving. But the problem is that men's basketball is the most important and the revenue generating arm of the athletic department, and it's not. Anyone who is a fan of DePaul University or hears my pain coming through the radio when I'm calling games, it's been 10 years of 19 losses or more through three different coaches. That's what we've seen, and it's heartbreaking. I am not one of those people who feels like DePaul has some right to elevate itself to where it was when we started watching DePaul. The kids who are at DePaul now have no concept of it, and I think that that's a problem. I think that's a problem. I think that there are too many people around DePaul, and maybe I'm part of that problem, that still hold on to the glory days and don't see what's actually happening in college basketball right now. Another part of this is the Wintrust Arena itself and the funding for the Wintrust Arena. There are some questions about whether or not that arena should have been built in the first place. When you start talking about TIF money that was used in part to fund that stadium, and there are plenty of people that will tell you that money should have been allocated towards Chicago Public Schools and not to give a private university a stadium, or at least partially. DePaul paid its fair share for the stadium as well. I tell you this so you understand all of the conflicts that I have with this. And now I want to share a couple of graphs of what the kids wrote. and I shouldn't say kids, that is demeaning. What Jonathan Ballou and Shane Renee wrote for the DePaulia. The chief marketing officer for Wintrust Bank has confirmed that Wintrust executive vice president and sister-in-law of DePaul Athletics and of DePaul Athletic Director Jean Lindsay Ponsetto, Candace Lindsay, was involved in the multi-million dollar Wintrust naming rights agreement. DePaul officials have also confirmed that Jean Lindsay Ponsetto never officially disclosed a conflict of interest from before engaging in the deal. The 2017 Wintrust Arena agreement was touted by DePaul as a huge win for the university and the athletic director, Jean Lindsay Ponsetto. But there seems to be some family ties concerning Wintrust and Lindsay Ponsetto that raise questions of nepotism and potential conflict of interest. Candace Lindsay is the executive vice president at Wintrust Bank. She was named by Crain's as one of the 30 most influential women in Chicago banking and is credited on Crain's website for helping to secure DePaul as a client. Lindsay is married to DePaul's head softball coach, Eugene Lindsay, also the brother of Lindsay Ponsetto. The story goes on, and it's one of the things that I do like about, and this is me bragging a little bit on our students, is they were transparent in their method. They actually put in the piece how they went about reporting on this story. And I implore you to read the story, figure out how you feel about it yourself, dig deeper. The Sun-Times and DNA Info, I think that stuff has been restored. DNA Info wrote about Wintrust Arena when it was built back, or when the funding was starting to come through back in 2015, 2016. There's some good pieces on this. And I don't think that it looks great. This is just my opinion. I don't think that it looks great. But I've already gotten pushback from people who are around the program who said it's not the full story. I look forward to there being more comment from the DePaul Athletic Department on it. So to me, there's a couple of separate issues here. There's the issue of this and whether or not this was nepotism or cronyism or whatever, and whether that would pass the muster of compliance for any other DePaul faculty member or employee. That's one. The other part is, what does DePaul do about the men's basketball program? And I don't have a great answer for you on that. I just know that as a fan of the university, I'm extremely disappointed. And I've had good relationships with just about everyone involved in DePaul's athletic department. But even for a very patient fan base, I think that we've been asked to be patient for far too long. Again, I'm sure we'll touch back on this a little bit later on. I got a guest coming up in the next segment. Please take the time to read the story. I would prefer that if we were going to discuss it, that you read it before we discuss it. And again, I think there's two different tracks that we're on. And I don't know if the two connect for you, if this is something that people feel like is a reason why Jeannie shouldn't be the athletic director, or if this is its own entity. And again, that's for you to decide. But I want you to read it first, and then we can get into it. We'll talk a little golf with Barry Rosner next here on The Score.
Are you serious? Are you serious? There's a little of that old Tiger magic.
And a little rabbit out of the hat, Raj.
Yeah. Nice little smile.
A wry little smile there.
I think my game's progressing. You know, as I was telling you guys yesterday, I had really some nice building blocks at Honda. And it's, you know, I made a few tweaks for this week, and it's paid off.
Tiger Woods is playing good golf, highlight courtesy of NBC and the Golf Channel. This segment being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. I love Barry Rosner. And he loved watching Tiger Woods perform this past weekend, so I had to invite the fine columnist from the Daily Herald and, of course, the host of Hit and Run and our in-house golfing expert, Barry Rosner, onto the air. Hello, Barry.
Hello, Lawrence. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. We talked earlier today. I know that you were excited about seeing Tiger play like Tiger. Why was it such an intoxicating few days for people who aren't even golf fans to watch what he did?
Well, it would be the same if Muhammad Ali came back when the average, you know, boxing fan thought he might be done, or if Michael Jordan came back yet again. That's the gift we're being given here, is the opportunity to see the greatest who ever lived play again, and who knows how high a level he'll be able to play at. I want to start here, Lawrence, with the notion that this guy's doing what he's doing after 14 rounds of competitive golf. Imagine a starting pitcher not throwing a baseball for 4 years and then making a few starts in spring training and then going out when the regular season starts and throwing complete game two hitters and just playing like nothing ever happened. That's how inconceivable this is. Golf is really hard. I mean, you have to have every part of your game completely sharp to compete in a tournament, to even make a cut. Forget about winning, just to make a cut. He's played 14 rounds after 4 years of no golf, after lower lumbar spinal fusion, which no one has ever come back from, and played competitive golf. He has done it by feel, without a coach. The most creative player who ever lived is doing this by feel. He's trying to find a rhythm and a tempo. He did it by playing at Torrey Pines, where he made the cut on the number, when really he couldn't do anything very well that weekend, but he made the cut on the number. The next week he couldn't hit a fairway at Riviera, which is very tight. He misses the cut. A week later comes back at Honda in U.S. Open conditions, on a U.S. Open course with incredible wind, and plays very well, shoots even par, finishes 12th. And I just don't think people could possibly understand how inconceivable this is, that he's doing this so fast. If he can stay healthy, Lawrence, which, look, he swung on the 14th hole on Saturday, his clubhead speed was 129.2 miles an hour. That's the fastest recorded on the PGA Tour this year. Not Justin Thomas, not John Rahm, not Dustin Johnson, not Rory McIlroy, none of the fastest on tour this year. He appears to be completely fine. If that is true, and he can play for a year healthy, I who knows what we might be able to see. But what he's already done, I don't even have the words to describe it. It's just no normal person could possibly do this. He's the greatest ever, and you know, God willing, we'll be able to see him stay healthy. And who knows what he could do over the next 10 years.
What were you expecting when you heard, oh, you know, Tiger's feeling good and he's thinking about coming back?
Well, I said it in 2008 when he won the U.S. Open on a broken leg and a torn ACL. I said it when he came back from the scandal and he won three times in 2012 and five times in 2013. I said it this time. I'll say it every time. If Tiger Woods is healthy, he's going to win again, and he's going to win a lot again. So I'm not surprised that he's on his way back. I'm not surprised that he can play great golf, even given the very limited options that he has, you know, the tools available to him at this point. I didn't know what to think. Look, in November, he said he was basically just able to get out of bed. And then he started putting and chipping, and near the end of November he was hitting his long irons. In the beginning of December he was starting to hit his driver. Then he played in the Hero in the Bahamas, and he looked to be okay, although he had no idea what he was doing. He looked to be okay. And now from there, in four months he could barely get out of bed, and today he's doing this. I don't know how anybody could have expected this. Tiger himself had no idea what to expect. I do know this: if he stays healthy, he has a chance to own the game again. And there's a lot of great players. There's 50 or 60 guys who can win every week, but they have not experienced what it's like to hear that noise on Sunday coming down the stretch. Justin Thomas said it at the Honda. He said, nobody was watching us. Everybody was, and Justin Thomas won. And Tiger finished an hour before him, and he said he's never heard noise like that on a golf course before. And it's a different thing. I've been on the golf course, and I've heard it. And it's, like I said, the only thing I've ever seen in my life that compares to it is watching Muhammad Ali or watching Michael Jordan. And it's a gift. And I just hope he could stay on the golf course.
Now, we know that the spectators that are going to be at Augusta are usually a little bit more subdued. But for those golfers that are going to be golfing around Tiger Woods once we get to Augusta, what are the things that they can expect? Because I thought it was hilarious yesterday that even the guys that were on the call were like, yeah, where did all the spectators go? Well, they went with Tiger. Yeah, they walked up the golf course with Tiger Woods, and the other guys are standing there teeing off by themselves.
The great thing about Augusta is when they hear that noise, they're going to know exactly who it was, and it's not going to be far away because that noise is really contained there. Everything's pretty close together there. And if you're it's worth being in front of Tiger because everyone is moving from the last hole to your hole, and there's constant movement and constant distraction and constant noise, and it's never quiet. If you're behind him, it's not quite as bad, but nevertheless, they're going to be 40 or 50 deep. Every picture you saw of Tiger Woods this weekend, what you saw behind him was every single person with a phone out trying to get a picture of him. Every single person had a phone out because most of these people have never seen Tiger Woods before. It's like if Michael Jordan walked down Michigan Avenue, you know what happens. The whole world stops. It's Michael Jordan. That's what this is like. So the distraction that he'll create at Augusta, especially if he's in the mix on Sunday, these guys, they won't know how to handle it because they've never been through it. Only Phil really has seen it before. So I just hope we get to see it. Lawrence, I don't know what this is. Is this Ali when he came back and beat Foreman 7 years after the U.S. government stole his title and stole his life from him? He wasn't the same guy, but he was pretty great. Was it Ali when he beat Spinks for the third time, to get his title the third time, when really he didn't have much left at all, but he was still smart enough to win? Is it Jordan in the second three-peat? Is it Jordan when he came back with Washington? I can't answer that for you now, but I'll repeat what I've always said. If he can stay healthy, he's going to win again, and he's going to win a lot. And whether you're a golf fan or not, I think you just have to be grateful that we're being given the opportunity.
What was the best part of his game over the last two tournaments?
It's been different every game. He putted really well at Honda. His short game was pretty spectacular, I would say, this weekend. But he didn't putt as well this weekend. He certainly didn't putt that well on Sunday. But on Sunday, what was different from the first 3 days is his proximity to the hole with his irons was not very good, which is why you didn't see him get very many good birdie looks. If he gets three more good birdie looks, he wins the tournament. I know he only lost by one. You're not going to make every 7 to 10 footer, but he just didn't have very many good looks because his proximity was off. Well, again, that's just reps. He has to play. And the more he plays, the better feel he's going to have for all that. But he's starting to dial in his driver. Look, he's got a new back. He's got new clubs. He's with a new manufacturer. He's got a new swing, which he taught himself, which is much closer to what his father taught him, which I think his dad would be really happy about. He's got a lighter driver shaft. He's got a different length driver shaft. He's got a new ball. Bubba Watson put a new ball in his game. He didn't do anything for 2 years. He won at Riviera a few weeks ago, and he said, I couldn't hit the ball. I mean, I didn't know what the ball was going to do. He has changed everything. And in 14 rounds of golf, he's doing this. I mean, you played baseball, Lawrence. Imagine if you didn't do anything for 4 years. What would you be able to do? He's played 14 rounds of golf. I mean, imagine what he might be able to do in a year if he could just keep playing. It's really inconceivable. I don't even know I don't know how to make the right comparison to it because there's really nothing like this. He's not, he's in many ways superhuman. And the reason I compare him to Ali and Jordan is because they're the three greatest that I've ever seen do anything. And I think it's comparable in the way that they continued to come back and surprise. And the great thing about where Tiger is now is there's a history of guys winning in their 40s. Vijay Singh won 22 times in his 40s.
Wow.
So, and 36 guys have won majors in their 40s. So there's a lot there for him if he could just stay on the golf course. And for anybody who loves sports, especially if they love golf, this is just it's an unexpected gift. And you just, again, you just keep your fingers crossed that he stays healthy.
Barry, it's always a pleasure talking to you, sir. You're one of my favorites, and you know this.
I do know that, and I appreciate it, Lawrence, and I always thank you for allowing me to be on your show.
Well, you're a good man and thorough. Thanks, Barry. I'll talk to you soon.
See you soon.
The Roz, a.k.a. Barry Rosner, talking golf. I know that I kind of just threw the DePaul thing at you and didn't really give you an opportunity to react. So if you'd like to react to it, we can do that. 312-644-6767 is the number. I also want to talk about Tiger Woods, and I'll explain in what context I want to discuss him next. But if you watched yesterday and you weren't planning to watch, I'd love to talk with you. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.